message that I want to speak to your heart. This isn't a sermon. This is a message. So I pray it'll speak to you. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you go with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to read out of the New King James Bible, but whatever translation you have, follow along with us. Try to go to the scriptures as we read through them. That'll really help you a little bit. And if you don't have a good Bible, I encourage you to go to Google and order yourself a good study Bible. Order yourself a Bible to have at home. Or if you need help with that, call and we'll try to help you find something. At nothing else, you should have it on your phone. You can get YouVersion, which is a great translation for your phone. YouVersion has multiple translations that you can go to real quickly. I use a thing called Blue Letter Bible. I like it because it's a little quicker to pull up for me. But whatever you use, Gateway has a good Bible translations. But somehow, I just encourage everybody to get the word more active in your life. Luke 18 and verse 8, follow along with me. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This is this little passage of scripture right here. This is a rhetorical question. When Jesus comes, he expects to find faith on the earth. We're in this series about how faith works, and we've been talking for weeks now about how faith works. And the title of the message today is Faith for the Future. Faith for the future. And we need to have faith for the future. Anybody in the room believe Jesus is coming soon? I mean, do you really believe that Jesus is coming soon? I really believe that in my heart, that the Lord is coming soon. Jesus is referring to the end times in this passage, and the study of the end times is called eschatology. That basically means the study of the end times. My view of eschatology is, or of the end times, is there's going to come a tribulation time, a tribulation period. You say, well, what's the tribulation? The tribulation is a relatively short period of time. The Bible teaches that it will last about 7 years. So this is my view on it, okay? During the tribulation, I believe that the world will experience worldwide hardships, that they're going to see disasters, famine, war, pain, suffering. All this will take place, before the second coming of Christ. He's going to return. See, I believe there's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation, and then there'll be 3.5 years of great tribulation. That this 7-year period is considered to be the final week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy, Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. That's found in Daniel chapter 9. But I believe those that choose to follow Christ will be raptured before the tribulation. That's what I believe will happen. Now, many of you, some of you may have been taught mid-tribulation, that we'll go through 3.5 years of tribulation, and before the great tribulation, you're going to be raptured off. Some of you believe we'll go through all of it. I don't care what your position. It's not anything that should divide us. I'm just telling you my position is I am a pre-tribulationist. I believe before any of this ever happens, I'm going to be escorted out of here in the presence of the Lord. I kind of think I'm going out with the first load. If you believe the other, that's okay. You can believe that. And whether I have to stay through all of it or if I get out through the first load, you better be full of the Holy Spirit and ready. Amen? I get my view from Matthew 27, verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. The Bible, your Bible, says this. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. I believe before the coming of the Son of Man, we will be safe in the ark of God before one drop of rain comes. I take that position. I believe in the rapture of the church. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible. You can't find it in the Bible, but here's the meaning of rapture. Rapture means the transporting of a person from one place to another, especially to heaven, by supernatural means. This is where I get it, in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So go ahead and flip over there with me. They'll put it on the screen for you. But you should mark it in your Bible so you'll know why you believe what you believe. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." When he's talking about falling asleep, he's talking about dying. We just had Nick and Julie go to church here, and Nick's daughter just passed away a couple days ago. I was with them on Wednesday, and we went over and prayed with her and had the most amazing prayer. She held my hand, very conscious, and prayed with me. And then about 1 o'clock in the morning, she crossed over and went to be with the Lord in heaven. And I'm praying for Nick. It's been very hard for him to lose his daughter. But I know he's watching the podcast, and I just speak blessing over Nick that she is with the Lord. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus," or those who are dead. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is the rapture. This is prophetically speaking to the future of the church. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. And he says this, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." See, if you don't have the right faith for the future, this can be heavy for you. This is like this is like you are so focused on the end of the world and the doomsday mentality. He says, listen, even though this is going to happen, I want you to understand, it's going to happen, but you be of good courage. You be encouraged. Comfort one another with these words. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," or we shall not all die, "but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall it be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law." And then he puts a little three-letter word in there. He says, but. He said, all this stuff is going to happen, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's shifting our thinking. He's saying, listen, all this stuff is going to happen, but thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's shifting our thinking to say, listen, all this is going to happen, but you've got to have faith for the future. You can't get consumed with the end of time and what's going to happen and be so worried about everything that's going on out there and what's going to happen that you forget to enjoy the moment that we're in. You need to have faith for the future. Jesus said, Luke 18, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, he expects to find faith on the earth. He does not expect to come back and find us in a bomb shelter eating dehydrated fruit, hiding from the Antichrist. Come on. We are a victorious church. We're not to be thinking with a mentality that everything's falling apart and everything's collapsing and we're all just going to escape and get to heaven. He's coming back for a dominant church. When Jesus returns, he's coming back for a victorious church living in dominion. We're to be a people of God walking in spiritual authority, experiencing a supernatural, Holy Spirit-led life. When I grew up in the church, there was a lot of teaching about the end times. There was a lot of concern about we weren't going to be around very long, that things were going to happen and the earth was falling apart, and it was a scary time as a kid. There wasn't a lot of hope for the future. When credit cards first came out, I remember I was born in 1961. I'm 57 years old. I'll be 58 in just a few weeks, and we're going to have a Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Our first one, we're going to have a big Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and my goal is to fly in Jim Johnson, who's 94 years old, who prayed over me when I died. October the 13th is the Sunday. 10 years ago, on October the 13th is when I died and God brought me back from the dead. And so it's a significant year for our family. So we're going to bring everybody together and have a big celebration for Pastor Sunday, Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And I'm flying in from Ohio. I'm trying to get it worked out where we fly Jim Johnson here, the old guy that prayed over me when I was laying there with in the hospital. But I'm just telling you, when I was a kid, I grew up in 61. And then as I was a kid, credit cards weren't a thing back then. So credit cards were just starting to come on the scene. And I remember my mom and dad sitting us down and showing us the pictures and saying, these things are of the devil, and this is what's happening. This is a part of the Antichrist spirit. 666. Everybody's gonna get numbers in their wrist or in their forehead. And the world's coming, and there was this doomsday mentality. Man, when I grew up, I didn't even want to have children. I was afraid that I don't want to raise a kid in this world that's gonna be so evil and all this stuff's gonna happen. I had no faith for the future. I was more concerned about, man, we just got to get to heaven. Every preaching sermon and every song was about heaven. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Huh? It was this lifestyle. It was in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. That's all the hymns were all about heaven and all that. Let's get out of here. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? It's like we lived with that. That's what we grew up on. And it created this culture inside of us that we kept believing that everything's going to get worse. And I've lived with that most of my adult life. Things are just going to get worse. And I see all the earthquakes and all the famine and all the hurricanes wiping off the planet. You know why it's worse? This has been going on forever, guys. This isn't new stuff. It's just more prevalent now because we see it all. I'm just telling you, it's not getting worse, it's getting better. We have faith for the future. There was this sin consciousness when I grew up. Everything was about sin. What are you doing? You can't eat, you can't do that, and you can't go there, and if you go there, that's a sin. If you do this, that's a sin, and don't wear those, this, and you gotta look like this. You gotta have this Pentecostal beehive hairdo up here if you're saved. If you cut your hair, you're going to hell. It was this whole concept that we grew up with. It was a sin consciousness. There wasn't a lot of focus on life and what God is doing. It was all about what the devil was doing. And I'm just renewing my mind. I'm just starting to get it into my heart. The church has produced this culture of people trying to get to heaven. When you read in the Bible, when Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's trying to get on the earth, and the Christians are trying to get out of here. The Bible says, your Bible says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. In 1988, when I was just a young man, a man wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. He wrote a book called 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Many of you guys bought the book. You got it, right? Yeah. 1.5 million people bought this book. Church people bought the book. And when he didn't come back in 1988, he wrote another book while he's going to come back in 1989. It didn't sell as many, though. Even though Jesus said in Mark 13:32, "But the day, the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Even though in the Word it says nobody knows the hour, nobody knows the day, but the Father in heaven. But still, some guy can get an idea and say, God's going to come back, and everybody will rush to the bookstore and buy all those books and start preparing. You remember the Jim Jones and the Jonestown Massacre, and 909 people drank the Kool-Aid? It's been going on for years, guys. It's been all through our culture. David Koresh, Jim Jones, people buying into this lie that listen, I believe Jesus could come back at any moment, but I'm living like I'm going to possess the earth and take over this place. I got a mindset that my children and my grandchild that's about to be born is going to be so full of the power of the Holy Spirit that when he prophetically speaks, thousands will come to know Jesus. It's faith for the future. Oh, you guys remember Y2K? You remember Y2K? I mean Y2K? Y2K? The Y2K? Huh? Papa had a basement absolutely full of water, and we had potted meat and viney weenies, and we had enough food we could hit from the Antichrist for a long time, not in that basement. Yeah, it wasn't you, it was Trudy. Blame it on Trudy. No, I mean, the whole thing was, there was a truth to it, but with TV preachers and everybody just capitalized on this is the end of time, this is the start of the tribulation period, and all this stuff is going to happen, and we bought into it because we had no faith for the future. I believe Jesus could come back at any minute. How about just a few years ago in the Mayans, the Mayan calendar, 2012, all the people got in airplanes and flew over there to get ready that morning, because on that morning when the Mayan calendar said that was going to be the end of the world. I mean, the church has created this culture. We bought into all of these lies and we bought into all this stuff. I know he could come back at any minute, but listen to what Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 11. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's prophetically speaking through this parable about the end of time, about this king who went away to a kingdom to prepare a kingdom and return. And he called his 10 servants together, and he delivered to them 10 pounds, and he said to them, occupy till I come. Or he said to them, do business till I come. He said, the king's going away to prepare a kingdom for you, and when he comes back, he's going to come back and receive you. But while you're waiting, while you're in the meantime, while you're going through this life, occupy and do business. Live in dominion. Live and reign and rule with the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a little faith for the future. We need faith for the future. I'm believing for the next generation that we're raising up in this church and around this world, that there's another generation who are going to believe that the mountains that have stood in their path for years, the things that they have seen with their eyes that have just been sticking around this place, just because it's here doesn't mean it gets to stay here. There's a mentality that's always been, or that's just the way it's going to be. But I'm here to tell you there's a generation being raised up who have faith for the future and who can move mountains that have stood in our path for years. I believe in my time period, we're going to see government-funded abortions ended all over the United States of America. Well, you say that's a mountain that's been here. Hey, we may not be able to stop abortions, but we can stop my tax dollars from paying for them. Come on. I believe that we can put an end to human trafficking. There's enough technology now, we can put an end to that stuff. The lie is, well, it's always been here and it's always going to be that way. I believe we can see prayer put back into our schools. I'm not too naive to think that's a big mountain and that's a big wall, but I also know that God's raising up some little generals in this house who have the fire of God in their belly, who will not compromise and who will not give up, who will seek out the old path and walk in it and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Just because it's been around for a long time doesn't mean it gets to stick around. I'm tired. I believe in my generation, Randy, we're going to raise up some leaders that are going to understand and know that pornography being free to every child in America, being accessed by any computer, it's got to end. It's got to end. We may never be able to stop porn, but I'm going to tell you what we can stop. We can stop the accessibility of our children going on any computer and watching that garbage that any man should not watch. We can stop it. You say, well, that's just too big of a mountain. No, the faith the size of a mustard seed, the Bible says, can move the mountain. Just got to have some faith for the future. Global hunger. We can annihilate global hunger. It is a shame that we live in a country where there's so much food being wasted. If we can just figure out how to get that food to these nations around the world, we can end global hunger. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 25, back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 25, said he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. He must have dominion. He must dominate until he has put all enemies under his feet. If you put too much focus on the end time and doomsday, you will rob yourself of faith for the future. He wants to put our focus on life and abundancy. He wants you to focus on great things that are coming. We need to focus on bringing heaven to earth. We need to get a mindset that I'm gonna create an atmosphere around my life where the glory of God is leading me to rule and reign in high places with Jesus. If you're not careful, you'll believe the lie that the world's getting worse every day. Because if you focus on that and that's what you see, that's what you'll believe. I'm telling you, the world is not getting worse. You just have more accessibility to see it all. It's a better place. The Bible teaches us that the best is yet to come. Huh? He says in his word, in the last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. Come on, I'm not focused on, oh my gosh, look at all this stuff and look how the world's falling apart. No, I'm looking at the opportunities. The opportunities that are available, technology and the things that are available to the body of Christ. Even though the Bible teaches the best is yet to come in the last days he'll pour his spirit, I believe the world is a better place than it used to be. Listen, when our country was founded, you know what the life expectancy was for a man? The age? 40 years old. When the country was founded, the average age of a male was 40 years old. Today, we got more people living over 100 than ever in history in the time. It's amazing. Why? Because it's better. It's better. The richest man in the world chartered a boat to go from Europe to France to try to cure himself of a disease because the best doctors were in France. He was so rich, he chartered his own boat to take him to try to, and on the way to the doctors, died of a simple disease that could have been cured with penicillin. But it wasn't available then. We have such technology at our hands right now. Do you understand that Brandon was here this morning in the first service? Brandon owns him and his father started a company with these printers that can take an image and it will carve out a 3D image of that thing. 3D image printing. It's big. It's amazing. Do you know that if you go in for a sonogram now, Amanda could go in there for a sonogram right now, and they would take a picture of her baby, and they can create a 3D image for her to look at of that child. River Grace. I love that name. Hey, you don't think that's going to do something? You don't think that's going to do something to a woman who's thinking about aborting her baby to go in to get a sonogram and they take a picture of that little baby and create a 3D image that you can look in his eyes, you can see her face, and you can see her cheekbones? I'm telling you, it's going to do something. Huh? We may not be in them all, but we're in a great time in this nation. There's a great opportunity for us to make some headway in the kingdom of God. Faith for the future. You just start believing the lies, it's just getting worse. No, it's getting better. You can travel anywhere now, preach the gospel. Years ago in the Bible days, if you wanted to go, Josiah was in the first service today. He was sitting right over there in the second row. Josiah was here. My daughter's getting ready to marry him. They're getting married in a few months. But Josiah and Daniel Kalinda just traveled to Kenya to preach the gospel in a week. They saw 211,000 people make a decision for Christ in 1 week. He said, oh, Pastor, but it's just getting so bad. No, the opportunities are so great. In the Bible days, if Paul wanted to go to Africa to preach, he'd have went down to the sea, they'd have put him on a boat, and everybody would have said, goodbye. I hope you make it. We're not going to see you anymore, but love you, and I hope those people will receive the word. Now we could jump on a plane and fly there in hours. It's better now. It's better. In 1999, global poverty was at 28%. 28% of the world was starving to death. In 2013, it's down to 11% in 2013. I don't know what it is today. We're ending global poverty. It's better today. We have more access, more things at our fingertips. God is doing so many great things. Rob was just in China last week, and when he went to China, he's never been out of the country. He's never been to China. He can't speak Mandarin, but he had Google Translate, and he could say whatever he needed. Hi, where's the closest restaurant? And it'll translate in Mandarin. Anywhere you want to go in the world, you can go to Africa, you can go to China, you can go to Haiti, take Google Translate and preach the gospel to any native around the world. Why? Because it's better, and we've got faith for the future. We're not going down. We're not being defeated. We're not being strangled out. We are the church of Jesus Christ. It is alive. It is powerful. It is victorious. The best time to be alive. The Afghanistan war has been going on since 2001. Around 7,000 Americans have died, and an estimated 149,000 people have died in that war from 2001 to 2019. 149,000, that's a lot, right? Listen to this. World War II lasted 6 years and one day. Huh? Am I right? You ain't old enough to know either, are you? That's what Google told me. How long was World War II? 6 years and one day. You know how many people died in World War II? 75 million people died in World War II. It's better today. It's better today. We can end world wars. We can end global wars. I'm telling you, this generation of young people that God's raising up, these babies that are being born today. It is prophetic. God's raising up men and women who will know their God and do great and mighty exploits in the name of their God. Technology's better. They can do surgeries inside a mother's womb on babies now. While she's pregnant, do surgeries on the babies. It's amazing. Listen, we need faith for the future. I've studied this for about 2 weeks now. I've been just praying about this message and studying it. And I started researching into the great cathedrals that were built in the medieval time, mid-century. Back in the day, in the mid-century, they started building, and over in Europe, they started building a cathedral there. They started digging the foundation, and they realized this cathedral, how long it was going to take. So they planted a forest of trees, so that when the cathedral was up high enough at the walls, the trees would be big enough that they could cut them down and make scaffolding to finish the walls. Faith for the future. It took 500 years to build some of these cathedrals. Some of these Gothic cathedrals where they have sculpted the entire Bible on the walls of these, on the outside walls, so that you could stand there for days and be able to tell the Bible stories to your children. They were building for the future. They were thinking about a generation that was coming up after them. And we in our minds have listened to the lies. Well, I believe Jesus could come back tomorrow, but I can't live my life that way. I gotta live my life with expectancy for the future, that God is gonna do great things, and I'm gonna see with my eyes things that the world has never seen before. And my hands will experience things that nobody else's hands have experienced. Can you believe with me for faith for the future? Can we think about that 40 acres that God has just given us and realize that that's just not a piece of land that is to be transformed into a cathedral where people can come from all over the world and experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and the river of God will flow through that place and touch lives and nations. It's faith for the future. It's believing, Miss Gail, if you'll come. It's believing that this isn't it. You can't build for generations to come if you don't have faith for the future. I believe with all my heart that I am somewhere and you are somewhere in the future, and you look much better than you do right now. Come on, you're not falling apart. You're falling into something. You're falling into a river. There's a rain falling. There's a mist from heaven. When we came to church this morning, the dew was all over the ground. Bobby said, look at that dew. It's so amazing. And I'm thinking about the church of Jesus Christ, the river of God that wants to flow out of your bellies like a river of living water, the Spirit of the living God to change the world that we live in. Come on. You know what the Bible refers to as the end of the age? You know what it talks about when it says the end of time? You know what it refers to? Harvest time. Harvest time. I'm not saved. I'm not saved because I'm trying to escape hell. I'm saved because God's greater than the devil. I'm saved because he always causes me to triumph. I'm saved because Jesus is the power of the living God. And I'm saved because his Holy Spirit has empowered my life. People don't go to hell because God doesn't love them. People go to hell because they don't love God. The best is yet to come. Come on. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. Come on, stop believing the lie. Everything's getting worse and you're just falling apart. No, it's not. The opportunities are endless for what God could do with your life. Stop thinking so small. I'm guilty of thinking small sometimes. I try to protect what we have, and I'm so bad about it. And God's calling me to say, hey, open your eyes to wide-eyed and wonder and realize the world is at your fingertips and there's nothing too hard for God. And if you think big, God will give you big. Man, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Stand up on your feet with me, please. One of my favorite passages in the scripture, Philippians 1:6 is my favorite verse, but one of my favorite passages in John 14, when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I grew up as a kid thinking, I got to do right because I want God to build me a big mansion in heaven. But honestly, why would a spirit need a mansion? You know what he's talking about? In there when he said, I go away to prepare a place for you, and he said, hey, in my Father's house are many mansions. What he's saying is, in my Father's house are many souls, many people, many dwelling places. That mansion means dwelling places. He's got a place for all of us. You know what heaven is for me? I mean, I know streets of gold. I've read it my whole life. I understand all that. But you know what heaven is for me? Ted, heaven for me is the presence of God. Just to be in his presence. And wherever that is, that's where heaven is. Amen? Satan's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. God's plan is life and more abundant life. What are you experiencing? What are you experiencing? Do you have a doomsday mentality, or do you have a mindset that God is going to pour his Spirit out? And we're going to see signs and wonders and supernatural things. And the peace of God and the love of God is just going to overtake me. Oh, the overwhelming love of the Father, the love of Jesus. Oh, that Papa God could just come and embrace you, and you and he could walk in the garden in the cool of the day with peace. For some of you, that's not your experience. Your experience is guilt and shame. Your experience is a sin consciousness. You're constantly fighting the devil. You're constantly in warfare. And I'm here to tell you, God says, come on, man. I've already defeated that devil. He's a defeated foe. Get your eyes off of all that and get some faith for the future. Right now, I just ask everybody, put your hands down and just bow your heart to the Lord in prayer. And I want you to pray with me if there's any in this room that have just been living with heaviness, have been living with heaviness over life, just everything. Maybe there's someone here and your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. If you were to die today, you're not even sure you'd go to heaven. Listen, you can't have it both ways. You can't worship God on Sunday and then live like the world all day long, all week long, and then come back every week and think that everything's all right. No, there's a transformation that needs to happen. There's a giving of one's life. He just doesn't want your heart. He wants your life. If you're here listening or watching right now, and you would be honest and say, you know what, I'm not experiencing the life that God has intended for me, I just want you to lift your hand to the Lord. Just hold it up. If you're not really experiencing the life that God has intended for you, if you were to die today, you don't know for sure you go to heaven, or you're overwhelmed with the cares of this life, just lift your hand. Lift it up. Come on. Several. Amen. Hold them up there. Hold them up there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I want faith for the future. I want to believe you for good things. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life. Transform me by your Spirit. I want to live full of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I receive your love. Thank you, Jesus.